Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss. Tell Us Something awakens imagination, empowers storytellers, and connects the Missoula community through the transformative power of personal storytelling. It is a celebration of each other, our stories, and how we move through the world together. All of the stories at Tell Us Something are true. Stories last for 10 minutes and are told from memory. Everyone is welcome to tell a story. The community comes together for a night of true personal stories, shared live, focused on a theme. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This episode of the Tell Us Something podcast was recorded in front of a live audience on September 20th, 2016 at the Wilma in Missoula, Montana, as part of the Montana Book Festival. 11 storytellers shared their story based on the theme, Fork in the Road. This edition of the Tell Us Something podcast comes to us from David Allen Cates and is titled, You Are a Stupid Naked Boy. Thanks for listening.
So I'm diving for a loose ball. I'm about 18 inches off a gym court, basketball court, and it's fall practice, Montana Grizzlies, over in the Schreiber Gym, and I get the ball, I knock it back into the court, but before I hit the ground, I can see my coach, Judd Heathcote. He's a big man, and he was full of passion, and I hit the ground, and I slide, and I see this man just full of overbrimming with passion and yelling, and I love that. I love the passion that he had, but as I hit the ground and I slide, I had this thought. I thought, for basketball? And I thought, who cares if the ball goes out of bounds? It's a fatal thought for an athlete. The next day, I quit. I remember walking through campus the next few days, and it's like I had this big hole in my stomach. I mean, the hole we all have that's full of sadness and confusion and uncertainty. And for years, a basketball fit right in there. And I didn't know who I was anymore. I was taking a class, a Native American Studies class, and read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, and I had to write a paper on it. I didn't read very many books, and I wrote even fewer papers. But this was exciting for me. I mean, lights were going off in my head. I was thinking about things I'd never thought about before, and most importantly, I was feeling things. The writing made me feel things, and I was very excited. I loved it. I thought, maybe I'll take a journalism class in the spring. So I did, and it was a beginning reporting class, and I took, you had to write a news article 1 week, and another one, just one on top of the other, and I got a D, and then I got a D, and then I got a D, and then I got an F, and then I got a D. Apparently, you need to know grammar to write. My friend says to me, let's go to Africa. Well, I wasn't a basketball player anymore, and I guess I wasn't a scholar. We had a mutual friend in northern Nigeria, so we work in Alaska that summer, make money, and fly to New York early September, get our visas, go to Kennedy Airport. Before we get on the plane, my friend buys a grocery bag full of novels. Well, I didn't read novels, and I'd never seen anybody buy so many books. I said, what do you do with all those books? He said, I'm going to read them, Dave. We fly to over the desert, Sahara Desert, in the early morning. We land in Kano, northern Nigeria. Get out of the plane. It's already super hot. I've never been in a tropical place before, never been in a place where there wasn't winter. And walk across the tarmac between these two rows of guys with guns and walk into the airport terminal, which is the size of like a gymnasium. But it's crowded like an elevator. I mean, it's just packed. And the people who were supposed to pick us up weren't there. And the one phone at the airport didn't work. So plan B, we wait. And we waited and waited and waited all morning into the afternoon. We were just about to start working on plan C. But we were like slumped against the wall. It was hot. We were confused by all the people coming up to us, wanting to sell us stuff, talking to us in a language we didn't know. This guy walks up to us. He's wearing an Indiana University t-shirt. And he sees us down sitting on the floor against the wall, and he looks at us and he says, "You're lost, aren't you?" And we say, "Yeah, how could you tell?" He says, "Because I was you in your country. Where are you going?" Turned out he was going the same place we were going, actually farther south. We were going 2 hours south from the airport. It wasn't a taxi ride. So we go with him, and we get out into the streets of Kano, which are really narrow and crowded with people, and the driver is, you know, like one-story mud buildings and animals, and I'm hungry. He stops and buys a bunch of bananas, puts them on the seat next to me. I peel one, eat it, not sure what to do with the peel, put it on my lap, and peel another one and eat it, and not sure what to do with the peel, put it on my lap, and do that about 3, 4, 5 more times. The driver's trying to not hit something, but he's getting distracted by the growing pile of peels on my lap. After a while, he can't stand it anymore. He reaches over, grabs the peels off my lap, and throws them out the window. He says, "This is Africa. You can throw your banana peels out the window." I like Africa. I'm happy. We drive an hour south. We get to this big restaurant with a lot of tables outdoors. This isn't a place where people ignore you if you look different. Everybody's staring at us. We sit on the end of this lot of tables. After a while, people get used to us. They keep eating, except for one guy, a tall, skinny, drunk guy who's all the way across the table of the restaurant, but he starts coming toward us, you know, like this. It takes him a long time wandering between the tables, but he's just got his eyes on us like a laser. Gets right up to our table and bends forward, looking at us. I'm just going, "Go away, go away." He just stares and he says, "Your culture sucks." Not absolute truth. I'm going, okay, just go away. He leans in closer. He says, "Africa will change you." Every story needs a prophet, right? We drive to where we're going. Sleep in a nice house that night where I'm going to be the next number of months. It's where the university professors live, next to the Amadou Bello University campus. In the morning I wake up, the sun's coming through the window, it's hot. I'm just super excited to be there. I'm going to go outside, I'm going to walk around, I'm going to get to know this place. I put on my sandals. I'd bought sandals for the trip. I'd never owned sandals in my life. Put on my shorts, walk outside. The guys out there were digging ditches. They didn't have shirts on. I thought, well, I don't need a shirt. Walk through the neighborhood, get to where the road ends, follow this trail, go past this kind of like these little mud houses with thatched roofs, kind of quaint, you know, I thought, and waved and walked by, and down the trail, I get to this road, take a left, walk about a mile in the hot sun, thinking, I'm going to get a tropical suntan. You know, I'd seen guys come from Hawaii, and they had suntans. That's going to be me, too. And anyway, I get to this stick and tin market with all this stuff going on. These kids come out, and they say, and they were super excited to see me. They took my hands and said, "Here, sit down here in the shade." And I'm just happy. I don't want to sit in the shade, though, because I want to get a tropical suntan. And I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know, they're teaching me words like rock and stick and truck. And I'm thinking, I'm going to come here every day. I'm just going to be like one with the, you know, learn the Hausa. You learn Hausa. It's going to be so cool. I was really happy. I was sitting there, and right when I'm just the happiest can be, you know, this guy comes bursting out of that little cluster, the cluster of market stalls, and he's screaming. I don't even know what he's screaming, who he's screaming at or anything, but he's screaming, and I realize he's screaming at me, and he's screaming in English, and he's saying, "Go away. You are a very stupid boy. You are a naked stupid boy." And I'm backing up. I mean, I'm scared and shocked. And I turn my back. I start walking down that long road, and he's following after me. "You are a naked, stupid boy. If you come back here, I will beat you." I'm just walking. I'm just totally sad, confused, you know, feeling stupid and naked. These trucks are going by, and they got all these people in them, and I'd been waving at the trucks on the way there, but I realized that those trucks were, people were yelling, and they're probably yelling in Hausa, "Naked, stupid boy." And they turn onto the little trail and go past a little cluster of houses I thought was so cool, and I was just going, I felt humiliated. I felt ashamed. And I got back to the house, and I sat there in the shade in the house, and there was this bag of books. And I started to read them. And over the course of like the next 4 or 5 months, I read them all. And in reading them, it was my discovery of the novel was, it was like I discovered the most beautiful thing human beings had ever made. And not just the particular novel, but the form of the novel. It just blew my mind. Bong, like a dong went off. I was Saul on the way to Damascus. I knew I was going to write one. I knew it. So I came back to the University of Montana, and I took an introduction to grammar class.
Thanks, David. David Allen Cates is the author of 5 novels, most recently Tom Connor's Gift and a collection of poetry. For 18 years, he's worked as a Spanish interpreter and director of Missoula Medical Aid, a local nonprofit that sends groups of medical professionals to provide public health and surgery services in Honduras. Learn more about David and his work at davidallencates.com and missoulamedicalaid.org. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and most especially to the storytellers John Engen, Jameson Gordon, Neil McMahon, Harry Nyes, Pat Williams, David Allen Cates, Shoba Rao, Michael Marsalek, Becca Kelly, Tommy Peterson, and Allison Cox. Remember, your story matters. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Check out the website to find out how you can tell your own story and to learn more. Tell us something. .org. Tell Us Something is proud to be fiscally sponsored by Missoula Community Foundation, a 501c3 organization. Missoula Community Foundation has been providing leadership to Missoula nonprofits and inspiring long-term philanthropy in Missoula since 2007. For the good of Missoula, forever. MissoulaCommunityFoundation.org. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Top Hat Lounge. Bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat hosts a variety of Montana-based artists and has become a destination for national touring musicians. In addition to great music, the Top Hat hosts comedy shows, film, performance art, and storytelling. The Top Hat also offers a unique dining experience centered on local, house-made ingredients. Dining made different. View their menu and event schedule at tophatlounge.com. The Wilma. A locally owned and independently operated venue, the Wilma has anchored the Missoula cultural and entertainment scene for almost 100 years. Constructed in 1921 as a vaudeville house, the Wilma was utilized as a movie house for the majority of its history. In the 1980s, the Wilma began to once again host live entertainment. Now, it is a state-of-the-art live music facility within a spectacular historic building. TheWilma.com. CabinetParts.com. The number one source for cabinet hardware since 1997. Anyone searching for the best kitchen cabinet hardware at a great price needs to go to CabinetParts.com. CabinetParts.com, in business since 1997, combines knowledgeable hardware specialists with the best online shopping experience nationwide. With fast and easy ordering, free hinge matching service, and same-day shipping, CabinetParts.com is the direct source for all of your cabinet hardware needs. Missoula Broadcasting Company, which includes The Trail 103.3, Missoula's quality rock, and part of our unique Western Montana community, featuring local DJs who love Missoula and know their music. Jack FM, playing what they want. U104.5 FM. Finally, a radio station for you. UFM keeps every listener happy and upbeat with a fun mix of top 40 favorites and upbeat alt-pop jams. And ESPN 102.9, KKVU HD4, focusing on city, state, and regional sports, giving exposure and insight to teams and athletes in and around Western Montana. Martin McCain, Woodworks and Design. If you're looking for custom, modern, and mid-century cabinetry and furniture to fit your home, check out Martin's work on Instagram. He is at Martin_McCain_Woodworks over there, and MartinMcCain79 on Pinterest. You can always friend up with him on Facebook, because if he's doing work for you, it's pretty likely you'll become friends. Facebook.com/MartinMcCainWoodworks. Find. Find is a vintage store located in Missoula, Montana that sells unique finds, antiques, eclectic furniture, and home decor. Currently in transition, Find will reopen its doors at some undetermined date. Gecko Designs. Gecko Designs is a great little design shop specializing in responsive, results-driven web design and are proud supporters of the arts, hosting First Friday events every month and making sure that the artists receive the full sale amount when they successfully sell a piece of art. GeckoDesigns.com. The bookstore at the University of Montana. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction. FactandFictionBooks.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at CashForJunkersMusic.com.